Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we've done a ton of moving in the last, I'd say last month, but really, Jennifer, has this not been even the last 3 weeks? Was it this?
It's been probably the last 5-6 weeks. If you go back
you're
that
generous.
Far.
Yeah.
But that's how the Digmans roll. We just
literally
keep busy and keep moving.
What I guess then for everybody out there in listener land, I mean, I just in a nutshell, because it's only been a couple weeks since we've posted anything on our podcast, but it's just like, what have we been doing, and why, what keeps you going? What keeps us going?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. All right. Just, I mean, really, where do I need to start over?
No, I think that's perfect.
Because you listed off the laundry list of things we've done over and the last several weeks, and I'm just like babbling.
You're at that apex that I can't seem to climb to right now, probably because I'm tired, because
the ramps involved.
That's not accessible up to your apex.
All right,
it needs to be ADA compliant, sir. Anywho. We've just been so busy with interstate travel, and you're the word nerd. Is it interstate or interstate?
Or intrastate?
Oh, see, now that's
why are you
just
doing this?
I'm not. We've just been traveling a lot in the state of Michigan. That's right around that.
Okay, we will.
So I think that's worth mentioning, is we have had some incredible opportunities in these last 5 or 6 weeks. And I think they're worthy of talking about. But before we talk about it, I think it was very cute. Our old neighbors stopped by to visit us today. And Mike said something alluding to our podcast, and whether or not we were still doing this in this year is proof. Mike, we are still podcasting, and check us out. We've been we've been busy, and the last time we had a podcast, we posted and spoke with Ardra, and then we were on the move.
I mean, totally on the move, doing things, I think, and it all started, correct me if I'm wrong there, comment Jennifer, but did it start with our trip to Detroit, that centered around, a Tiger game for our 20th anniversary?
Well, let's go back. The night before the Tiger game for our 20th anniversary, we were fortunate to be part of a national MS Society Michigan chapter program called Taste of Generosity. And it was delicious, and it was generous. It was a good time.
That was a lot of fun, and it was down in Royal Oak, which is a suburb of Detroit, and we went down there. We took caregiver Jen with us, and it's such a magnificent event. I think this is something that we have been wanting to go to and do probably for the last 2 or 3 years that we were going to go. And it was fun. I think just all the vendors and all the people and everybody that's there to support the National MS Society and be there for people who are living with the disease.
It was a great event, and the stars in our calendar lined up. And for those of you that don't have Taste of Generosity events in your state, we are lucky that it was an event where local businesses in the Detroit area, or pretty much across the state, met in Royal Oak at the farmer's market to have people who had paid for entrance sample their goods, whether it be beer or food or there were some...
The roasted almonds.
The roasted almonds. I mean, it was just a delicious night and it was fun too. We had missed some of the vendors who did like tarot readings or just things like that. It was just a really... just an interesting night. There was some Italian food, some delicious lasagna.
Oh, the lasagna, yes.
Yum. And we will try and link to some of these vendors. And it was great. And it was just a wonderful event to kind of see. And Dan and I have talked about this in the past with MS Walk events, where you don't get to see people that you normally... your social media friends with, but to actually see them in person.
Oh my gosh.
You know, we get to do that at walk events, but this night in Royal Oak, we were able to see some of our friends that we hadn't seen. Granted, it was just a few months since the walk, or it was people that we've just seen on social media and we actually saw them in real person. So that was especially special.
Well, and I think that's where it was really awesome in that we saw Adam Powell, who we had just focused and had a conversation with for a podcast a few episodes ago. And Adam had some really exciting news and events with stuff for his legs. And we'll provide information about that in the liner notes for this. We'll reach out to Adam just to get a little more information about what this does to help him with his walking. And it was just really exciting to see how well he's walking with these devices. And so that was a lot of fun.
That was very fun. And it was just a great evening to get together in hopes of, as always, raise awareness, raise money to support the National MS Society, and just have a good time, have a reason to celebrate these local, you know, wares and food and vendors. So it was a great... Dan and I had never been before. Like I said, the stars kind of had to align, but I hope they align again next year.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because that, and if you are in Michigan, in the, you know, Lower Peninsula, and you can make it down, it's definitely, it's a good time, and it's very fun. So we did that, and then we woke up the next day, and we headed, half an hour south?
I think it was maybe about 15, 20 minutes south from Royal Oak down to downtown Detroit. Why, Jennifer?
To see the incredible Detroit Tigers baseball team. Professional baseball team.
Absolutely. Major League Baseball team.
There you go. You're the sports. I mean, I'm a sports fan, but... Yeah.
Well, the technicalities, but yeah, that we had gotten tickets... This was very, very early on in the spring that we had booked these tickets. And then it was just so awesome because Tigers are in the playoff hunt. They've been struggling of late. However, they likely will make the playoffs. There's not many games left in the season, but it was a lot of fun because the Tigers, we got to see like number one pitcher. Just trying to think, how did it work out? I think because Tarik Skubal is their number one guy, but it was just very fortunate, and he threw a great game. The Tigers ended up winning, like, was it 6-0 over the White Sox?
Yes.
And for that entire game with the Sox, the Tigers only won one game, and we were fortunate to see that game.
And that whole series, yes. Yeah. They only won the game that we went to, a three-game series. And it was, again, stars aligned because Dan kept saying as they got closer and closer to the game, oh, I hope Skubal pitches. Oh, I hope Skubal pitches. And then we looked maybe Thursday afternoon before Thursday, the game on Saturday, and we saw that Skubal was pitching, and it was like you got a Christmas present early, Mr. Digman. You were overjoyed.
Well, and it was I think that was, it was nice because to be down in downtown Detroit, and that was the beautiful thing, is the hotel where we were staying intentionally was two blocks from Comerica Park and Ford Field, just across the street from there. So it was an easy walk down to there. And I think that that's where you really just see how accessible the seating and everything is at Comerica Park. And I just think kudos to them for doing such a great job to make it such a meaningful event and a game, just as far as making it accessible for people mm-hmm. who use wheelchairs. I mean, I'm speaking like really just more on your behalf, or just seeing how easy that was.
And it was easy. It was easy for you. I imagine it was quite a bit of walking, which could have made that a little challenging. And instead of being challenged, we had the good fortune that caregiver Jen was with us for the Taste of Generosity and for the Tigers game. So that helped us. And Dan and I, we've mentioned it before, things are a little more difficult than they were, let's say, 10 years ago. It's more day-to-day. We are relying on Jen's help a little more, and thankfully she was able to come with us and see the Tigers game, and that helped, because as far as accessibility, I don't want to call you out, but if you would have had to get up and get hot dogs or beverages on your own, that could have been a little dicey because you had to walk up steps.
Well, and I think that was the beauty of going to a major league game, is you have vendors walking through the crowd selling hot dogs, beer, and things like that. This was really interesting, and I think this is, for better or worse, just the reality for me and how, I don't want to say how far I'm set back. But just that, you know, my legs aren't what they used to be. And like when we were there looking at, you know, for what we thought were our seats on the main concourse in the handicap accessible section, really great seats. But then when we're looking to find it, and the usher looked at our tickets and she says, actually, you guys are down there. So, I mean, you're talking probably another 10, 15 rows further down, closer to the field, which is awesome. But for you, the ramp, you had to go like another probably 20, 30 yards on the concourse down further to get to the ramp that's going to zigzag back and forth to get you down to those seats. It would have been so easy, so much closer, quicker for me to go down these, probably 10 steps, 10 yeah. steps down the rows. But it's like I would have rather walked, and I did walk the distance, winding back and forth on that to go down the ramp, just so I wouldn't have to go down those 10 steps because there were no handrails. And I just, with my, you know, that my left leg isn't as responsive as it used to be. I just don't go quickly because I'm just always afraid of it not responding for me. And that could have just been ugly.
And something as simple as handrails mm-hmm. make a humongous difference. True. For those of us who, I remember when I still was able to walk, oh, good heavens, it would stress me out beyond belief just if I had to walk down steps and there was not a handrail. Mm. I would need someone to walk with me, or, yeah, I wouldn't go, because that is frightening when your balance is a bit compromised.
Yeah.
So that's a good point that we did have vendors, but we also had Jen, and she was a peach, and she went and got us hot dog, and
she got the first round.
Yeah. And so thank you to her.
Absolutely. But I think that's where it was, you know, the challenge then becomes then for that time I have to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to have the time or energy to walk zigzag up the ramp to go up to the main concourse to go. So I had to climb those 10 steps, which going up was a lot easier than going back down, because you just, the momentum usually can help carry you. But it's like, if you're not, not comfortable, and that's where I need to work on my legs. So.
Yes, and that pesky bladder that always that's always there to complicate things. And you're right. I remember when I lived in an apartment when I was younger, back in the old days, and I lived in an apartment that had it had handrails, but they were it was a little dicey, and right. I wasn't walking very good. And I remember sliding down steps on my butt.
Really?
And you can't very well slide down steps on your butt at Comerica Park in the middle of a baseball game, especially because there's cement steps and there are people everywhere. So
yeah, or be like a little kid and kind of climb down backwards on my knees.
Exactly, like a pouty little Dan Dickman, like, I don't want to fall, but you can't do that.
Well, I could. I
mean, you could. We should only if I'm videotaping.
I was going to say, only if you're recording it, because I want to see that sucker go viral.
Yeah, I think it would. But alas, we made it work. We had a fantastic time. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful game.
Well, and then just walking back to the hotel from Comerica Park. And I think that truly downtown Detroit for that whole atmosphere with the games and stuff and Ford Field right across the street. And we'll have something on our blog, just for everyone to, see pictures. There'll be a link in the liner notes how to get there. But I mean, just the picture you and Jen in front of Ford Field, to me, I'm just like, that's just like classic.
It was beautiful, yeah.
And so that was incredible. So happy 20th anniversary.
Happy 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And what a way to celebrate. And ad nauseum, I could tell the story that when I met Dan on September 28th, 2002, the two things I didn't like about that cute man were that he liked baseball and that he was a Bruce Springsteen fan. And for our honeymoon, saw a baseball game, 5th anniversary. We saw the Chicago Cubs for 20th anniversary, went to a Tigers game. So I must have liked that cute man a little bit. And baseball has definitely become something I enjoy.
And that you understand the 6-4-3 double play. I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do speak the baseball language to a certain extent. I get it. So
I mean, that was great. But then it didn't stop there, because it was then a week later, a week and a half later, we were down in Lansing doing our advocacy work, right?
Yes, you are correct. And you were right in the first instance. I'm sorry, I'm thinking back. Yeah, it was only like maybe 4 weeks that was all this time.
Yeah.
So my bad.
Oh, no.
But, yes, anyways, we were in Lansing, which is Michigan State Capital, for Michigan's MS Day at the Capitol, the MS Society, just to talk about issues important to the MS community here in Michigan. And we were there talking about the issue of medical debt.
And that was, and I think any time, for anybody out there, get involved with advocacy, because there's nothing more empowering than when you are at the state capitol, at the nation's capitol, with other MS activists who are there to share their stories, to make changes. And so for us to go down to Lansing, and there were activist friends that you see but once a year from the state of Michigan to do this. And I think what was empowering, especially this time, was the legislators, legislative aides came to us, because we had Anna, our advocacy director for our region, had booked the room.
Who works for the National MS Society.
Mm-hmm. Booked one room at right next to the Capitol building, and to have everybody there, then it became just, you just had that energy within the room of people talking about medical debt. What can you tell me about medical debt, Jennifer?
That it's a problem, and Captain Obvious reporting for duty, but just the reality that when you, for example, Dan, go for an Ocrevus treatment, mm-hmm. which is a twice a year infusion, which is meant to slow down the progression, severity of your multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. that when you go for that infusion, you are left with $5,000 bill. Your copay would be $5,000. And I'm not calling out your insurance specifically. And some people have great insurance and they don't have a crazy copay. But you have good insurance.
I have great insurance.
Yeah, and you still are expected to pay that much money. And so that would be the kind of medical debt. Or for me, with my wheelchair, you know, when my wheelchair, Frank, that's his name, when he needs something, I think the last time he needed repairs that were close to $1,000, that's not cheap for someone living, you know, who is not working. That medical debt, that is what we were talking to legislators about. And it was a very bipartisan issue. Mm-hmm. I think we both noticed that when we spoke with any legislators, they understood that medical debt is out of control.
And it's just a way then, I mean, obviously it's not something that would like wipe out the debt you have, but it's like to where your debt does not count against your credit report, or it doesn't impact your ability to get loans and things, because this, like you had said to the legislators, it's not like you are out spending, you know, $10,000 on a new car. You're there. This is stuff that you need for your medical condition, and the debt that you're incurring or building, that should not be held against you. And I think that's, you know, just a beautiful thing. I mean, yes, I have, you know, $5,000 bill for my infusion. I mean, fortunately, that's the beauty of a patient assistance program, that I'm able to make things more affordable for me. But it's just, what about for the people that don't have insurance, that don't qualify for assistance? And so it's just like, people shouldn't be punished for that.
And that's what we were talking about, sharing our stories with legislators in the hopes that things like what you had talked about, you know, the reality that maybe the legislators could pass some sort of legislation so that bill, those debts don't reflect on your credit report, or that we can cap interest on that.
That's big.
None of those things have happened yet, but we were talking to legislators. We didn't have any legislation to push forward, but just to get this in their ears to try and address some solution. And again, it's bipartisan and it goes beyond the multiple sclerosis community. Because I'm sure if you're living with diabetes or you're living with some other chronic illness, you know medical debt. And that's so many of these legislators, their constituents are dealing with medical debt here in Michigan. And then, you know, if you're listening to us in another state, how has your state addressed this problem, or has your state addressed this problem? We need to work together. We need to have a coalition in the state and then across the country, because medical debt is a reality. And like you said, babe, I didn't buy a new car. I just got a little multiple sclerosis.
Just a little.
So help me out, please.
Yep.
So we did that in Lansing. Then holy cats, a few days later, we were down in Ann Arbor to see our collective. Each one of us has a neurologist. We were seeing her for our regular.
I was going to say regular, like annual, basically a checkup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a beauty thing with Dr. Braley. She, you know, we can connect with her, you know, through the portal and everything, but I think just have that face-to-face contact and everything, just to, you know, evaluate where you are, what challenges, what issues. I mean, certainly then we talked about, you know, Dan's issues going up and down steps and the exercise and things, and just fortunately then getting referral for, you know, PT for evaluations for a sleep study, because it's determined I don't sleep well, one way or the other. And just how does that impact me? And just, I loved that she gets it, that it's just like, I'm afraid to do the exercises and stuff because I don't want to hurt myself, because I need to take care of you. I need to take care of myself. And so it's just that vicious cycle, or, you know, downward spiral of like, so I just need to get that in order. So that was a good thing. But again, Ann Arbor is like 2.5 hours down south from here. So you just,
yeah,
it's a lot of traveling.
It's a lot of traveling. And the reality, I said regular or annual visit kind of questioningly, but it had been about 18 months since we had faced this face seeing Dr. Braley. And as you said, we can contact her through the portal or, you know, call if we have questions. She's always accessible to us. But it was nice to see her face to face and to talk about some of the issues. And we're not prescribing or medical advice or anything. Mm-hmm. But it was just the fact she talked to you about taking a medication a little bit differently than you had been using it. And it's made a humongous difference in my mind. I don't know. Has it made it that?
And, well, it's totally made a difference. I think this is, we're not promoting drugs. That's not what we're saying. But, you know, that I take the gabapentin, Neurontin, as it were, because I have a restless leg. And so, you know, so then that keeps me up at night because I'm just having these spasms throughout the night. And we just had this, I was asking a question about, do I need to have more Neurontin during the day? Because my legs get twitchy around like, you know, 6-7 o'clock at night, you know, so, and just that she, rather than, I always was taking medicine at 9 o'clock at night, but she's like, take it like an hour before you go to bed. And the fact that we live like 12-year-olds and don't go to bed until midnight, 1 in the morning on a school night even.
We're not advocating that. We're mentioning.
Get your sleep, but just judging from when we go to bed, take it an hour before we go to bed. And I sleep so good through the night now. And like solid through the night, that I'm not like then waking up at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning twitchy because I took my Neurontin too early. And so I've just been sleeping a lot better, and I think I definitely have more energy. And so I'm advocating for getting good night's sleep, and getting this, you know, the allotted recommended 7.5 to 8 hours sleep.
And it was just that subtle change. But when the doctor said that your medication has a shelf life, not shelf life, I don't know what the right,
like, but it's
lasts potent for the 8 hours.
8 hours, yep.
And you were taking it and expecting it to work well over 8 hours. Whereas if you just shoved it back a little bit and took it a little later at night, and then it's the most powerful when you're sleeping, when you are expecting a good night's sleep. So that, I thought that was pretty incredible.
It's amazing what those doctors know.
Crazy, right?
Yep.
So it was a good visit. Now we are back home.
Yep.
We are here for a while.
Are we? Yeah.
Yeah. but we're going to go, we're just going to make a little 100-mile drive to see my mom to celebrate your birthday. To watch our beloved Detroit Lions play some football on TV, not in person.
Yep.
But we will do that. But then we'll be home for a little while.
Yeah.
Just recovering and.
How do you feel then? Like after, what kind of impact does this amount of travel or travel in general have on you? And your MS, I mean, how do you rebound? How do you stay focused? Or is it just, you just stick your head down and go and don't think anything about it? Does it ever make you anxious?
I think now I know, I don't think, I know 100% that I have a little pressure sore. And so I don't know if that's because of riding in the car. I don't shift as much, you know, when you're gone for a few hours and you're kind of locked in place. you don't get the pressure relief that you should. So that's, I have that souvenir from our travels. And I think that it's just good to go and to do it. And I have a bunch of really good memories and good experiences. And it was wonderful to see my neurologist. So it doesn't, I wouldn't miss it. You know, I'm glad I can do it. How about yourself? I mean, you having to drive the car, be responsible. And there was quite a bit of traffic in Michigan summer road construction season.
Yep.
How's that impact you?
I think, you know, as long as we stop often, you know, every hour or so just so I can stretch. But I think, you know, it is what it is. I mean, really just kind of tough it out. I think it definitely helps then to have Jen with us for when we get to our destination, that she's able to help with transfers and everything. So I think that makes it better.
And not every single person can just go find a caregiver to travel with them. So maybe put that in your memory bank to try. And if you don't have a caregiver, stop regularly, get out, be hydrated, be well rested if you have that opportunity or that ability. And we try not to drive to the point where you're exhausted or where I'm exhausted, because that's not good for us. And we often talked about when we were first diagnosed, taking a laundry list of questions to our neurologist. Yep. And it's been 20 plus years, so we don't really have a laundry list, but that's just us. If you are going to see your neurologist, make sure you have your questions, your concerns, just to make sure that you take care of that.
What, I mean, so then when you go now, what do you ask your neurologist now after being a seasoned veteran as you are? What kind of questions did you have for the doctor?
I wanted to talk to her about the importance of exercise and of diet, and she was happy. Dr. Braley has been my neurologist for so many years, and she was happy to hear me say that I am on Weight Watchers, trying to be mindful of my diet. I know that not only helps me, but it also helps Dan as he's transferring me. So my questions for her were about that. I, of course, always ask about myelin repair or new medication for the secondary progressive, because I am secondary progressive. I'm not like Dan with relapsing remitting. So I just ask questions about treating the disease. I don't know. I want to know what's on the forefront. So we deal with that. And then it's good because Dan's there and he can chime in with his questions. And this maybe is self-deprecating. I don't know about any of you out there listening. But his is relapsing remitting. So I feel that Dan's disease is a little more active than mine is. So I feel like his needs to be treated a little more aggressively than mine. I don't want to say that mine shouldn't be treated, because it should, but because, you know, Dan is still progressing, I think our visits, inevitably, as hard as our neurologist tries to keep us separate, our neurology visits turn into my questions, turn into Dan's getting treatment. So I think that's, for the most part, just what I do. Focus on diet, exercise, treatment, you know, and focus on you and your well-being.
And I'd say the same thing about you, so, you know, or what I deal with. So yeah, well, so that's it. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, because, you know, I guess we talk, we're together all the time, but then you just don't really, we just kind of go through and just never think, well, how does that work for you? So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I think it's important for all of us to focus on ourselves, but also focus on your caregiver, your family, those that are supporting you. And our neurologist is very good in keeping it inclusive to care about both of us and care about what it's like with our family, with our caregiver. And I think that the neurology community, as well as those of us in the MS community, were not shy about getting the care that we deserve and the care that we need.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, thank you all for listening. And I mean, just in terms of catching up and just hopefully then get some insights into moving forward with things or other ideas for just living life. I think that's the big thing. I mean, yes, the bulk of everything we did was MS related, but it's just like, I don't feel like the MS is controlling our lives. We're just controlling MS in our lives. So
right. And we did a lot of traveling here in the state, and that was, we're lucky that we were able to do it, but we have to manage our health so that we can do it.
Yeah. And pace yourself.
I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, is keep yourself strong as possible. And if you can't physically go to the games, for example, we can't physically go to a Lions game, we're going to watch it on TV and have a great time, be with our family. And that's important. Your well-being, you know, self-care.
Yep.
The drive 2.5 hours is not worth it right now because we are pooped. So we'll just take a shorter drive and spend time with family and just relax and take care of ourselves.
Very well. And so I think that's great advice and for everyone. Just take care of yourself. So until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman and Roland.
And together we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter at coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.